it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, we are back. The Red October Rally, the WIP Afternoon Show. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz at Stateside Live for the Red October Rally. Ike Reese, how you feeling, brother?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. Yes, sir.
Yep.
Let's go. Get locked in.
You get locked in.
I'm locked in.
All right.
I'm trying to get situated here.
Okay.
That's all. All right. Keep it moving.
You got to ask Fritz.
Well, Fritz, holler at your boy.
Okay, there
yeah,
we go.
Let's go ahead and keep it moving.
Yeah, keep it moving.
All right. Keep it moving. Keep
yeah,
moving.
Yeah, no. I'm getting chastised by Ben Davis for how nervous I am. He's like, you better figure it out.
Yeah, like, he's a real ball player, unlike you.
Yeah, a fake ball player. Although I did tell Trey Turner what my stats were today.
You did?
Well, I said, because remember that he got held hostage and did that video?
Oh, yes.
Me versus the camera.
Oh, you told him about the DeCamera stats.
Yeah.
So we are at Stateside Live, the former Xfinity Live. It is a lot of history here. We hung the Hinky banner here, had several lottery parties here, got the number one pick here, and today we have the Red October Rally. Well, tomorrow.
At least that pick turned into Ben Simmons.
Yeah, it worked out well. Tomorrow, the first.
That was a good night.
Yeah, it was a great night. Yeah. That was the best it got. Tomorrow, the first 2015 guests get a free Stateside cocktail. Whoa! Starting at 2 o'clock in honor of Stateside being founded right here in Philly in 2015. So, yesterday, guys. And Joe Giglio with us for the first hour. Joe, thank you for joining us.
Joseph. Got it.
Welcome to the show.
Real baseball guy, Joe Giglio there.
Yeah, keep doing it.
You need one on the show, so I decided to join.
I'll go home.
So yesterday, by the way, it's a huge, enormous show because we have the normal elements of a Friday show, right? Costo is going to be on with us, Tommy down the shore, all that kind of stuff. Philly's managing partner and principal owner, John Middleton, joins us at 3. Okay. Ruben Amaro joins us at 3:30. T-Mac at 4. Jesus Lizardo at some point. Yesterday, I was terrified of the Dodgers, and Ike gave me a good talking to.
Yep.
And I spent the evening thinking about it and waking up, and I'm no longer terrified of the Dodgers because, like, this is the Phillies' year this year. You know, every championship team has a story, right? And all the stories, they're all different, right? Sometimes the story is this young team comes out of nowhere and wins a championship. Sometimes the story is this team tries over and over and over again and finally gets there. And the team that tries over and over and over again and finally gets there, it doesn't always go, you know, win one round, then win two rounds, then finally win the big thing. It doesn't always work like that. And this Philly story, which started in 22... we look like we could have that first kind, the championship that comes out of nowhere. Team goes on an amazing run, loses to a very good team in the World Series, in the Astros, and we felt like we were on the beginning run of something. So then the next year, we get to the NLCS, we go home, up 3-2, and shockingly lose to the Diamondbacks 4-3 in the NLCS, lose the final two games at home. But still, I believe, there was a lot of optimism for the Phillies. But last year is when the real expectations started. And this team started off on fire. And then in the middle of the season, we could all feel it, even if we didn't say it out loud, the team just didn't have it anymore. And they couldn't figure out a way to get it back. And they lost in embarrassing fashion to the Mets. And that is when I believe the real true test of this team began. Because everybody couldn't just do the same thing that they've always been doing, right? It was a test for Trey Turner. Could he adjust and become a leadoff hitter? It was a test for Rob Thompson. As a laid-back guy, could he do things in a different way? And this year is when I start to see the parallels with the last two championships here in Philadelphia, the 2017 Eagles and the 2024 Eagles. So the 2024 Eagles, the previous year in 2023, were a lot like last year's Phillies team. Started off hot, started off 10-1, lost 6 of 7, and then lost in embarrassing fashion in the playoffs. And what did they do after that? They could have crumbled. This era of Eagles football could have gone away, right? Nick Sirianni could have gotten fired. Who knows what would have happened? But instead, they all came together, they became the best version of themselves, and they won a championship the next year. So that's how I see the similarity to the 2024 Eagles. And I also see a similarity to the 2017 Eagles, who lost their best player toward the end of the season in Carson Wentz. And what did they do? They all banded together, they played better, and they had a hero that nobody expected in Nick Foles. Now, I don't think we have the direct thing in Nick Foles, but I think in other players we have that thing. We have Christopher Sanchez, who is ready to step into the number one starter role. And I think we have Harrison Bader, who from a vibe standpoint has some of the similarities to a Nick Foles, right? The team rallied around Nick Foles because of his personality, because of how he played, because he wasn't afraid of the big spots. And I just think this Phillies team, with all that they have been through and all that has got us here, do they have to play the Dodgers? Sure, they have to play the Dodgers. But to win the World Series, you have to beat good teams. And whether you beat them in the NLDS or the NLCS or the World Series, you're going to play a really good team. I just feel like this team is ready. They are battle-tested. They know what they're up against. And when they are faced with hard situations like they were last year against the Mets, I don't think they're going to crumble. Like, I think they will dig deep. I think they will grind out at-bats. I think they will get great performances out of their starters. And I think they're going to do it. And I think this is the year they win the World Series. Dodgers now or Dodgers later. I just think this is the year.
Let's go, Joe!
You pumped?
I think this is the year. I just think it is.
We're back to it's the year?
It's the year. I just think it is. I think they've been through everything.
Seriously.
They've faced everything. This is the year.
I love you.
Yeah.
Damn near put us all to sleep there. I'm just letting you know that thing was long. Pause. Yeah, definitely. Get us in there, Joe.
Listen, I'm pumped. Spike didn't pump you up?
Well, listen, Spike told us we were going to win the World Series like 3 months ago.
I did.
He's been on this.
Yeah, I've
been on. And that's when I bought in.
Yeah.
I bought in then. Mm-hmm. He disappointed me yesterday, so I'm slowly.
The Dodgers fear.
I'm slowly moving back around.
He's back now.
I hear him.
I knew he'd be back today.
I was being honest.
It's the rally. You got to be pumped at the rally.
And I was being honest yesterday. I'd watched two games of the Dodgers, and I was terrified. But I'm not terrified anymore.
Well, the one thing you said in there that
terrified is the word.
Yeah.
Yes.
Scared. Terrified.
Yeah.
Both the examples you gave, and I know this one is to start off the postseason, but. Those Eagles teams had to go through the Patriots.
Yes.
And the Chiefs.
Yes.
So, look, I wish it wasn't the Dodgers in the first round, but that's what it is. Like, we have to beat them at some point to win the World Series. Just like the Eagles needed to beat the Chiefs, they needed to beat the Patriots. And the Phillies are capable of beating the Dodgers. They are absolutely capable. They have home field advantage. And I don't think the Dodgers are quite as great as they were a year ago. So, they could absolutely do it. And, yeah, they have all those similarities to those teams. I felt this in spring training. They know this is their last shot. I know we don't want to say it. We don't want to talk about it right now because it puts a
what do you mean last shot with this core?
This group, yeah. Well, it just might be their last shot and for a while.
Period? Really?
Well, I don't think for the
first. All right. Aiden's coming.
Hold on. I think it could be a good thing for them. Like you could be paralyzed by it or you could just say, this is it. This is our team. This is our year. And I think they've embraced it. And I think they're ready. Like, I don't think the moment's going to get
these guys. From their viewpoint, I totally agree with that. I'm just saying from a fan's viewpoint, I don't believe this is the last shot we have at winning the World Series.
This is the last great one they have, maybe.
For now.
For now, yeah.
For now.
No.
Yeah, for now. But the future does look good. We got some good young talent.
Sure.
But, all right.
Let's go win this one. How about it? How's that sound?
Hey, why don't you guys calm down over there?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think they know.
I agree
that you know they got a career year out of Kyle Schwarber. They got a bounce back career year out of Trey Turner.
They have a batting title. They have JT Realmuto. They have Chris Sanchez getting his top. He's gonna finish second in the NL Cy Young voting. Yeah. They have Jesus Luzardo 200 plus strikeouts. They got a real closer. Guy who's the fourth highest slave percentage in the history of baseball. Like, go time.
Yeah,
go time.
Win the World Series.
Yeah.
Win the World Series. And you know what? They get past the Dodgers, then all of a sudden, like you're going to feel unbeatable if you beat the Dodgers. You get past the Dodgers in this round, then all of a sudden you look at the rest of baseball, and there are good teams out there. The Brewers are a good team. The Cubs are a good team. The Yankees are a good team. The Blue Jays, they're all good teams. But none of them, I just want to put in perspective the Dodgers. We were talking.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking about in the offseason that this team, that they would have to change the rules of baseball because of the talent they assembled with this Dodgers team. Like, that is what they're up against. A team that we thought coming into this year, it wasn't just that they were going to win 100 games, it's how many games over 100 were they going to win.
That's set the wins record.
That's who they're facing. And they get past this team, I just think that they will... Like, you can't look at the rest of... Obviously, there are other good teams to beat, but you beat this team. I think this team's going to be flying on air.
Yeah.
Walking on air, rather.
So here's where I'm at with this. I agree with a lot of that. I just don't build the Dodgers up to be that. I really don't. There is something to winning already and whether or not you have that same focus and desire to go win again. I don't know if the Dodgers have that. Sure, the talent is there. The talent has always been there. It's always been there, but they don't always show up either. So I won't build this team up like that. I think there is something with this team. Maybe it's because I'm closer to this team and we follow this team a little bit more, but I think there's something from an intangible standpoint that I feel comfortable and confident in going up against this Dodger team with. It may be the perfect opponent for us. We need an opponent that everybody else thinks is unimaginable to overcome.
Yeah.
Like, we sort of need that.
Just make like us feel like the underdogs.
Well, yes. The Phillies are the underdogs. I mean, they've become the underdogs in this series.
So, right, and most of us don't feel comfortable that prior to this series, everybody was picking the Phillies to win the World Series. Okay, so.
I like this more.
Now we're in our comfort zone, and everybody's expecting the Dodgers to win. I like that. I like that. I like the fact that the first two games are at home. Right? Yep. I like that. So if the Dodgers win this series, they will earn it. They will earn it. Because they're not coming in here and just walking through two games here and going back to L.A. 2-0. They're not. I don't think that's happening. I think this team has more to it than allow that to happen. I think they are certainly scarred, and they haven't let go of some of the past failures. And to your point, they do realize where they're at right now. They do realize this may be it for them. And sometimes that can be a motivating factor as well.
And you know what? I like the fact that this team individually and as a collective are battle tested, not just over the last 4 years, but in this year. The fact that they lost Zach Wheeler and they battled through it. They lost Bryce Harper for a month. They lost Aaron Nola for 2.5 or 3 months.
Yeah.
They lost Trey Turner for the last few weeks of the season.
Yeah.
They lost Boehm, right? They and Jesus Luzardo went through a down spot in the middle of the season. Ranger Suarez looked like he lost it in the middle of the season, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All of these guys, Trey Turner had to not only change his spot in the lineup, but change his approach. He went from a guy who every time he stepped up there, we're like, oh, this guy's going to try to hit a home run again, to the guy that led the league in infield hits, right? Mm-hmm. And was stealing bases and was setting the table. We have Kyle Schwarber who is putting up a career year, you know? I just think like this team in general has stepped up to every challenge, and I think their leader, and I think this, when I'm talking about Rob Thompson, I think his might be the most important adjustment of all.
That's our ace.
What?
That's our ace, Rob Thompson.
Yeah.
That is our ace this year. That's what we haven't had in years past. To me, and this is no disrespect to Rob, but I don't think he's ever had a real impact from a tangible standpoint that we could actually see on the postseason in a positive way. And again, I don't mean that in a negative. I think one of his strengths is allowing his players to figure things out and work through things, and it's worked well for him. But also that is a little bit of a blind spot where sometimes these guys get comfortable in their own settings and they don't change. So they never do figure it out. And that's what we saw last year. I think this year Rob Thompson has done his best job as the manager of this team, having an impact and his imprint on the team. And I think what he does, how he handles the lineup, how he handles the starting rotation, how long he allows these guys to pitch versus when he's starting to go to his bullpen, all of those things, more so than any other year. This year, Rob Thompson, I believe, will have a greater impact on it. And I'll tell you, he's earned the trust, at least for me he has, from what he's done this year.
He didn't just wait for things to get better when they went
wrong.
He was proactive. Whether it means moving Stott to leadoff and then moving him down in the lineup. Moved up in the lineup, moved down in the lineup. You could see that. And then the other thing that is like, I don't think that you could have imagined what Rob Thompson did with the outfield this year and what he decided to do with Nick Castellanos in the face of a guy who by the way, did not accept this. At all. You know, kicking and screaming the entire time. But he pushed and he kept doing it. And you know what? He might end up getting the best out of... You're looking at these guys. Max Kepler's hitting .215. Weston Wilson's hitting .190. Nick Castellanos statistically is having the worst year of his career. But you look at him and somehow he's finding a way to make it work. And I give credit to Dave Dombrowski because he didn't sit on his hands at the trade deadline. And one of the things that is making... We give Rob Thompson credit for the outfield platoon, but the outfield platoon doesn't work unless you have Harrison
Bader. You got to have somebody there,
You need Harrison Bader in center field to
make... He's like the linchpin of it.
Well, he makes everything else make sense, right? Yeah. Because you can't have a platoon in every single outfield spot. And by the way, we said that when Bader got here. We all said he's got to end up being the center fielder. We look at the career year we got out of Brandon Marsh as well. The guy's hit over 300
after April. I mean, he got zero hits in April. The other thing about them that I think is worth noting is because there's going to be down moments, right? October has them. You're not going to win every game. They're not going to sweep every series. They're probably going to blow one. They're resilient. I mean, every time this season it felt like, uh-oh, they're going to fall apart.
Yep.
Like they get swept in New York in April. They bounce back. They
Schwarber got swept hits four homers.
Yep, they got swept by the Pirates. They got swept by the Pirates in Pittsburgh. They bounce right back.
That was a tough one.
That was tough. I said it was rock bottom, and then they bounced right back. One, then they got swept by the Mets. And
You've been in and out of this team all year, Joey. Listen. Like a seesaw.
You know come on. You have too.
I'm always steady.
Always steady.
Everyone knows where I am.
I love how resilient they are. And I think like last year when the Mets punched them in game three, I was like, uh-oh. I didn't think they were getting back. I think they can get back up if the Dodgers punch first or second in the series. I don't think they're going to fold.
And you know what?
I don't know if we can get back up. We need to punch first.
I don't have to get back up. I need them to get back up. I'm down.
And I think the best thing out of all of this is they won 96 games, right? Mm-hmm. 96 games this year. Yeah. We haven't even seen the best of Bryce Harper this year. And this is the time every season where he says, where we say, this is the time that he lives for. And you know, it was a fine year from Bryce Harper. You know, there were injury things, all that sort of stuff. Statistically, it was fine. There was never a time this year where you said to yourself, Bryce Harper is carrying the Phillies. And my hope is he's holding it for now. Because everyone's had a chance. It's been the bottom of the lineup that has held up the Phillies for parts of this year, right? The Marsh Stott. It's been Kyle Schwarber that has held up the Phillies. It's been Trey Turner. Yep. But it's been the starting rotation, which, you know, at the beginning of the year, we said, thank God we have the starting rotation. But it hasn't been Bryce yet. And tomorrow is when I think that the true Bryce Harper, the Bryce Harper who is one of the best players in baseball, steps in and shows why he is one of the faces of Major League Baseball. This is the time for him to do it. We haven't gotten that from Bryce yet this year, and this is the time for him to do it.
And I hope that CBS top 25 players left in the postseason, I hope that made its way.
Oh, yeah, please post that up in the clubhouse.
Yeah. I think he'd Pivetta 14.
That list was a joke.
It is kind of cool that Chris Sanchez was number five.
That's all I'm saying.
That part of it, I don't want to. They're hanging in the clubhouse. Hang another one in Sanchez's locker as a good one.
Yeah,
hey, guy.
And Ranger on there. Ranger is 25.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. All right, a big show coming up. We will talk a little Eagles next because they have a big game on Sunday.
Boop.
But just the Red October rally, we have John Middleton joining us at 3. We have Ruben Amaro joining us at 3:30. T-Mac joining us at 4. Jesus Lizardo joining us later on in the show. And then, you're Zeusing. I thought you were booing.
No. Come on, man.
We are at the Red October rally at Stateside Live. Where is Stateside Live? It is the former Xfinity Live right here in this sports complex in South Philly. Parking is free. Hope to see you here. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.